Good morning, everyone, and we've been sharing here a little bit before I turn the recorder on, but my heart is full with joy of being grateful for a memory, to have a memory, to be grateful for the abundance of the blessings that God has shared upon us all, regardless of what sometimes we think is a bad hair day. God wants us to be grateful and turn those old lemons into lemonade and to live that way every day. I want to share something with you today. I've titled, "What Do These Memorial Stones Mean?" And we'll get to that. And I think it's a big deal to make a big deal of it, especially when we remember what God has done in our lives. And I'm sure all of us can look back, perhaps as a youth, and also another mile marker in our life, perhaps the day that we graduated from high school, or the day we graduated from college, or the day that we arrived at a certain rank in the military, or the day we were married. And all these chapters in our life, or we look back on them and we see where God's grace was abundant in our life, and we just need to be grateful to Him. We need to memorialize that. And our military is a big part of Memorial Day, but also it's lives that have been lived, our families that love the Lord also in our lineage. They love the Lord, and it's a Memorial Day to remember the greatness of God in their lives. Some were successful, some perhaps were not so successful. But I want to thank God for parents and relatives that were God-fearing people, and I want to remember that and have that in my lineage, in my life, and thank God for the training I received from them. I want to say this before we get into the exact scriptures, that one of the most valuable things that we can have in the uses of the mind is memory.
Yeah.
How limited our lives would be without it. And I know there's cobwebs, and I know there's all kinds of blood, sweat, and tears back there in our memory. I know that, but that's part of it. You see, that's, if you don't remember those things, then how can you be grateful for the abundance of the rain when it comes on the Araba, or the desert? And so that little lily that was about to wither in your memory also has received rain, and now it flourishes with not only itself, but with fruit. And so how about people who have a brain injury or a trauma or a shock or whatever, and they lose a part of their memory or all their memory, and you're standing in front of your family or your wife or your children, you don't know them. Honey, don't you remember the day we were married? Honey, don't you, the birth of our second child? No. I mean, they're kind of believing you, what you're saying, but they're not, the history's not there, the memory's not there. And so memory is a very powerful thing.
Yes.
And America right now is suffering from spiritual amnesia. And particularly our present governing regime is suffering from our roots of Christianity.
Yes.
And we're not willing to remember that our nation was founded as a Christian nation, miraculously by God. Even those who penned so many things in our early establishment of our government acknowledged that it was inspired by God. And when anyone can read such as what they wrote, you just say, my, God's hand is all over this. And so to push that out to the perimeter of our daily life and to not teach that as history is very, very detrimental to a nation that is founded as a Christian nation, and now the leaders of our country are pushing that further and further away. In fact, do not promote it or encourage it whatsoever. So memory is a powerful thing, and I'm grateful to the Lord today that I have a memory, and that I can thank God for His blessings upon me and my family, my present family, my family of yesteryear. It's a little cool. So memory, excuse me just a moment for those who may be listening on this tape. I I just step back to adjust our air just a moment. Memory is a very powerful thing, and I just am so grateful to the Lord for it. Our lives are so limited without it. And it has a lot to do with Memorial Day. Memory does tend to fade with time if you don't stay at it. If you don't continue to seek the face of God, to have His Word hidden in your heart, and to read that and to go over it and to muse on it, to meditate on it, to chew it, to ruminate on it, it will fade. How many of you know that perhaps if you've been in an institution of technical education, such as nursing and all kinds of medications and terms and things, you're kind of there, but you know, if you don't stay with it, doctors don't stay with continuing ed, or nurses and people in certain, especially in the computer world of the technology, of the ever-changing world of computers and technology, if you don't stay up with it, you will lose quickly the continuity of it, the flow of it, the sense of it, and the sensibility of it all. So memory will have a tendency to fade unless you stay in school, stay in class. And that's why I always say to us, stay in school, stay humble, stay in class. And many of us are in situations right now where you just kind of download information. And you've got to stay with it to remember it, to know what to do. And but as Christians, just be mindful of this one thing, that the Lord will help us. He'll help us, because when we put on the mind of Christ, that's a Christ that remembers. that's not going to be a mind that forgets. The mind of Christ put on the mind is going to be a mind to remember the things of God and the ways of God, as Jesus did, of course, with His Father. So it tends to fade with time, and we need to make sure that we understand that all that's going on today with all these markers, they're markers of memorial everywhere, with our moving wall for the Vietnam veterans that was not there for so many years. They say a conflict that was fought over, 15 years, and thousands upon thousands have died, and recognize it as a conflict, not a war. But these are markers for people who gave their lives. And so many markers in our world, in our country today, specifically give evidence to those that have gave the ultimate sacrifice in their lives. I remember as a child going on Memorial Day, we would get together with my mom and dad and uncles and aunts, and we would travel to the countryside in eastern Ohio and not far from West Virginia. On the eastern side, it gets a little more hilly, so we were rolling all around those country roads and back, and all the way back to a small church and a cemetery where many of my relatives were buried. And we'd have a picnic, and we would go there. And I would see, as a child, I would see born, and I would see died. And so even as a child, that was a great lesson to realize we have expiration dates. And we went there to as a memorial to... Mom and Dad would show us these were your relatives. You never knew them, or you were a baby when they passed away or whatever. But we saw children there, and we saw adults there. Some lived a very short period of time, and children diseases, and died as babies, of course, died at birth, died at 1 year. Many of those are in those cemeteries today. And it was such that way when we went to visit in the countryside on Memorial Day in eastern Ohio. And so even as a child... Even as a child, as a Christian, God will teach you life is temporal. It's not permanent here. And so we need to make sure that those who may be reflecting upon our lives are reflecting upon a life that is a memorial thing to remember. And that there was godliness and there was righteousness in that life. And that child knew that all the way through its life and become a whole person in the Lord. And so... other monuments, speaking of monuments that we have everywhere, they mark battlefields, historic locations, and other points of interest. We see them everywhere. I mean, you can go in any state, in a town square, you'll see these generals on horses and, you know, fought battles and, you know, fought for independence and all these different things that they fought for. In the Old Testament, Jacob set up a memorial at Bethel. I don't know how many of you ever thought about this or not, but Lot's wife was crystallized into a marker as a reminder of the cities destroyed by divine judgment of God. You see, when she was crystallized and she turned in pillar of salt, that didn't go away overnight. I mean, that was something that is, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, we saw that recently in the History Channels. I think, didn't they show that? How she just turned into a pillar of salt. I believe they showed that. Anyhow, and she became a marker or a memorial that was indicative of disobedience to the Lord. You know, you don't look back when God says don't look back. You're going to have to leave something that is abomination to the Lord, and that was Sodom and Gomorrah. But she looked back. It's a day of honoring the deceased today, especially those who have paid the ultimate price of giving their lives, as we have said. Now, national memorials, Shirley and I, just to give you a little bit of feeling here with this thing for me today, and Memorial Day is, Shirley lived in Pennsylvania. We went up to visit there several times, and we went by Gettysburg. How many of you have been to Gettysburg? It's just quite a feeling. When you go to Gettysburg. And big round top, little round top, Devil's Den, the wheat field, and all those places where these people, they've got markers and things to both the north and the south. It's just so needless. It's just incredibly, when I see that, I say so needless. You don't have to fight your uncle, your cousin, your brother, and kill one another that way. But a lot of blood spilled there in Gettysburg, and 1863, we have the battle taking place from July the 1st to the 3rd, and Lincoln, November later, after that July, gave Gettysburg Express, and such that he said that it was determined at Gettysburg that a nation dedicated to the principle that all men are created equal could endure. And so it was over emancipation of the slavery issue, but there's other issues involved with this. But anyhow, these memorials are silent testimonies and reminders that this event must not be forgotten. And so there's a lot of memorials down here in this earth. Russia has theirs too, and I'm sure China has theirs, and all kind of nations throughout the world have their memorials of their dead. A lot of Russians lost people in Afghanistan. A lot of sons, and I don't know how many daughters, but they lost a lot of children there in Afghanistan, and they weep for them. But there's, as far as memory today, I just want to share something with you. I think it's very important to remember that there's no God like Jehovah.
Yeah.
There's no Savior like Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to remember something, if you want to keep that in your brain and in your heart, that's one thing you must not ever forget, and must not ever forget to convey that to your children. And you convey it by your life. We can get through this. We can do this. It's hard right now. It's difficult right now. Mommy's crying, or Dad's feeling this. Dad's hurting. Dad's got tears. You know, your sister has tears, and you feel things. But, you know, guess what? Get over it. Those things are in life. They're real mud and crud and things that go on. And there's people here today that, to me, they just light me up like an unlit candle, because I know some of the things they've been through, and they're here, and they're alive, and they're well, and they love Jesus. And I thank God, I thank God, I thank God, I thank God that we are enduring and we're getting the mud off. Something was said about the mud today, and we're getting the mud off, we're getting the crud off, and we're allowing the cleansing of the Holy Spirit to wash us white as snow.
Yeah.
Though your sins be like crimson, they should be white as snow. And I thank God only through Jesus Christ, and remembering Jesus Christ's blood shed for me, that I can go on this world and know there is hope for all of us. And it's just so awesome to know that we serve a living God who will help us cross or ford any trouble that we have. We can do this. Only in Him can we do this.
That's right.
How many of you are experiencing and have experienced the grace of God up to this very moment? Wow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That's right.
That saved a wretch like me.
Yeah.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was so blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
Wow. If you would turn with me to Joshua, this is where I got the title today, What Do These Memorial Stones Mean? And in Joshua chapter 3, as we know, Joshua took the baton from Moses, because Moses was told, you're not going to enter the promised land. He struck the rock and didn't speak to the rock, but God loved him. In fact, God buried Moses. But now we've got Joshua to lead him into the promised land. How many of you know you're going to the promised land?
Amen.
You're going to the ultimate promised land. You're going there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know you are going there. But you also know you're here on this earth breathing this air and this body, and your skeletal framework also contains organs and sinew and blood and all kinds of stuff, and you feel pain at times mentally, physically, and spiritually. You're on this earth, but you know you're going to the promised land.
Yeah.
See, I know that, and in that hope, I go above, you know, the sulking and the sitting down and just kicking like a brat. I have to remember that God is greater than that. Get over that and let's get on down the road.
That's right.
You know, so you get bandaged up. You're going to bleed. We do as children. There's a spiritual parallel. You get scratches. Sometimes the scratches are deeper and not so superficial. That there are contusions, there's things that happen in life, and you're going along, you mind your business, you love the Lord, but bang! What was that? Whoa, physically or spiritually?
Uh-huh.
It hurts!
Yes, it does.
How many of you would like to get whacked on your shin with a police, baton? You know, you get whacked on the shin, they know how to bring, it hurts! Ouch, don't do that. Tell me what you want me to do and I'll get down, whatever you want me to. But no, some people rebel and they have to get them down. We get hurt. And so Joshua knows, and Joshua was present when they came out of Egypt. He has seen the miraculous power of God. How many of you know that history matters?
Yeah.
How many know that your experiences matter? When you're walking with Jesus today, because you know He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. You've bled, you've cried, you've done all those things in the past, and now you have been strengthened through those trials.
Yes.
And nobody prays for them.
Yes.
Give me all out of trials, God, so that I can work out all this patience that you have for me. And I don't pray for that. But they're going to be there anyhow. We're getting ready to head out the other day, and I got three guys and myself unable to work because Mickey Mouse truck won't start. But I've been there and done that, so I'm going to look to the Lord, and I'm not going to go in circles. What do we do? What do we do? Look at all this money that I'm losing. They're getting paid by the hour. We're not going anywhere. The truck is not starting. So what do I do? Well, Mark, you could do this and this and this and this. I got to make command decisions right then what we do. So we call AAA. I said, we're going to wait. We're going to see if he can get it started. He comes in, great, big, powerful booster this and booster that, and all it was my batteries were lower than what I thought they were, and we went out and got new batteries, but we were 2 hours behind, so that didn't cause me stress. They're still going to get paid. God's going to provide. But why stress out for 2 hours of lost work? There's nothing you can do about it except go through the procedure of getting something done about it, looking to the Lord, and they're watching you to see how you're reacting.
That's right.
They're watching you the whole way. They're going to watch and see what you do.
That's right.
These people were watching Joshua. They're watching him, this man of God, chosen of God. What are you going to do now, big boy? Type of thing. We have obstacles. God is training us to be able to go through or over or around or under or whatever obstacles.
That's right.
And if you don't experience it, you're never going to. If you don't go through the exercise of that, you're never going to be strengthened through them. I love it when I see some of you going through something and you say, I was really feeling this thing, you know, and then all of a sudden the little words of encouragement, you go, yeah, you know, that's right. That's what I was into, now I'm not. You just walk that way. You just walk that way.
That's right.
Wow. Joshua, verse 1, he rose early in the morning in Joshua 3, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. They lodged there before they crossed. How many of you are getting used to lodging before you cross? Setting your heart and your mind on Jesus before you go through or into or get involved in something instead of being so spontaneous or knee-jerk in your reactions toward a situation.
Yeah.
How about lodging before you react? I think that's wisdom. Yeah. I like that, Joshua. I like that. I want to remember that today, this Memorial Day. I want to remember what you did so I can do it too. But that's you and this is me. Or that's y'all and this is Wiens. Whatever. However you want to look at it. That's him, this is me, but I get the principle. You get the principle? How many of you are willing to camp out with the Lord before you do something? More so now than you used to.
Amen.
Now that might be 5 minutes. It may be all it takes. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm sorry, Mr. Parsons. I know you have a ticket. We believe what you're saying, but it's not in the computer. And so you can't get on board. Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so I want to recommend to you, Mark, and speaking to myself in a mirror, you might want to camp out with the Lord, well, however long it takes.
Yeah.
Just take some breaths and start counting. I was teasing Ted the other day. We were talking about counting. One, two, you know, before you react. And I told Ted he wasn't doing this, but I was teasing him. I said, I drove by your house and I saw you sitting on a little, he sits on those chairs outside his little porch. Sometimes he's looking out here in the nature and the wonderful little nature preserve we hear toward the church. And I said, Ted, I went by your house the other day and I saw you out there counting. You were at 851, 852. I'm just messing with you, Ted. But I said, that's okay, man. Sometimes you might get up to quite high numbers in your count before you react in the flesh. Just start counting. And so we need to camp out with the Lord before we get involved into doing something that that God has for us here and something in our life. And verse 2, and it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp. At the end of 3 days. 3 days, you're going to wait on God for 3 days? You're going to camp out here for 3 days waiting on God? Why don't you just do what you want to do? You like it, buy it. You don't like it, sell it. You don't like them, just tell them you don't like them. Tell them you hate them. Tell them they're jerks. I mean, just tell them. Why wait on God's voice, God's word, God's mind? Just do what you want to do. Man, that sounds like somebody coming off a chain to me. But to camp out before the Lord and to hear from Him is critical. I did not always like to do that. I don't know about you, but that's just me, the old nature. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Folks, it's just plain, pure, and simple. All you got to do is do what Jesus did. When he said, come, follow me. They didn't know Jesus from Adam's house cat. They didn't know Jesus from, they were in their boats. He said, come, follow me. And they followed him. When you see the ark of the covenant of God go out, all you got to do is follow it. Because God is going before you. That represented what? God's presence. The Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
That represented what God was doing and what He wanted them to do to follow Him. And say, so when you see it set out, then you follow it. And isn't that what they did in the wilderness? Not this generation. I mean the generation that was disobedient and died out. But this generation with Joshua is a new generation. And they also had to do the same thing. Abide by God's rules. They, when God set out in the wilderness and the camp broke up and they followed the pillar of fire, by night and the cloud by day, then they followed the cloud and the fire that God had established. And now they follow the Ark of the Covenant. And when it sets out, you set out. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. 2,000 cubits is about a half a mile. Don't come within a half mile of the Ark of the Covenant of God. Now, this is just something that I was reading also. Henry said something about this. If everybody was crowded around the Ark, I mean, just crowded all around it, and everybody just, you know, just talking and crowded around it and everything, you couldn't really see, you know, it in a distance, collectively, together, to know where we're going here. But it was a holy thing, too, and God said, you know, just stay away. I don't need your help. I don't need your opinion what to do and where we're going. So, just stay away, and why 2,000 cubits? You know, I can't answer that, but God can. Maybe one day you can ask Him, hey, why 2,000 cubits? I mean, why this number of days for this and that? And you can ask Him. Sometimes we can make sense of it out of here, but sometimes you might have to, you got eternity to ask God. You got forever to ask Him. Stay a half mile away. When you see it move, then you move. But anyhow, don't get to crowd around it, that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. And how many of you know it's a little intimidating to be going on a path and you haven't been there before? Have you ever lived in Sarasota before?
No.
You told me upon a visit here that you guys, when it happens, it's going to happen fast. Mm-hmm. Next time I knew you were in Sarasota, and you've never been there before. Mm-mm. And so it is with our lives. Sometimes we physically move. Sometimes we spiritually move in areas that we haven't been before. And so it says, for you have not been this way before. So just follow me. Just follow me. So I believe with all your heart, you were desirous to follow the Lord in that move. And so
we prayed and he put us there because we were trying for Tampa and Zephyr Hills area. Mm-hmm. And we ended up in Sarasota. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, God put us here for a season and for a reason.
I like that. For a season and for a reason. And so all you do is look to the Lord.
Amen.
When He pulls up camp, and you pull up camp, if He has you stay there, you stay there. It's a perfect example, though. It could be a little intimidating to move to a strange city.
Oh, yes.
Boom. You're not familiar with it.
But the faith. I had to stand totally on this whole situation. I had to stand mm-hmm. totally on faith and trust God.
Isn't that what God is after? Without faith, it's impossible to please
exactly.
Him.
Exactly.
And so then Joshua, verse 5, said to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for the Lord will do wonders
Amen.
Among you. The Lord will do wonders among you. Things way beyond. What's a wonder to you? What do you think of when you think of a wonder?
Miracle.
It's a miracle. A wonder is something that man cannot do, man cannot fabricate, but God can do wonders. God can do wonders in our lives. He's a wonderful God. We say that to people, don't we? Oh, you're so wonderful, you mow my yard, or you're so wonderful, you change my tire. I really appreciate you. But God is wonderful when you think of Him. Praise the Lord. And Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And you shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, and the Gershite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. All these people from all these lands and the enemies, think of them as what is an enemy in your life? All these Girgashites and Perez, you know, all these things in your life can be animosity, It can be just uncomfortable with a situation, with people. It can be, you know, just the stomach churning because maybe you bought something you shouldn't have bought, or you bought two instead of one because it had a sale, two for whatever, but you don't need to, but you just bought it, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you say, gee, why'd I do that? It's cool if God has a purpose for it. But a lot of times, you know, three for one, two for one, whatever. The sale ends tonight. If you don't do it now, you're not going to get it, you know, whatever. And it's just, I had somebody came by the other day, and it was Verizon. And I have a box right out in my yard with Verizon. We're at Bright House. And they said, what do we got to do to get you to change? And they said, if you change by a certain date because blah, 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 we're in your neighborhood, we're going to give you a whatever it was, has to do with the power, what I was going to get. It was something like 30 over 40 or whatever they said. I said, I don't care if it's 2 over 3. I said, you got your schedules and I got mine, but I said, I'm not going to go along with this last sale day and your power you're offering me. I don't care if it's 2 over 3. I said, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not knocking you, but I'm just saying I'm not going to be intimidated by that or be pressured into buying something.
Yeah.
So anyhow, there's just things that we go through, no matter what, intimidate us. And so whether your enemy is what they were facing going into Canaan or what your enemy is today, present day enemy, you need to trust God, camp out before Him, and trust Him to go before you to show you the more perfect way. Now, I want to say this too. We'll just watch this. And it's in verse 12. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. And it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priest who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above shall stand in one heap. This is amazing because where they stood above, it tells us here, and I'll tell you how far that was. So it came about when the people set out from the tents to cross the Jordan with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priest carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water of the Jordan, which is overflowing its banks all the days of the harvest. It was the harvest time and it was flooded. That the waters which were flowing, verse 16, down from above, stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah and the Salt Sea were completely cut off, so the people crossed opposite Jericho. These people come down, and the priest with the ark, soon as they touch, soon as you touch, and soon as I touch, in obedience to the Lord, stepping out, to cross something that is so intimidating. How many of you ever been to Jacksonville and the St. John's River? How many of you would agree that is like an ocean compared to Hillsborough River?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is so intimidating where the St. John's River comes out in Jacksonville and it's going out into the Gulf there a little ways. I couldn't believe. I said, that is the St. John's River? But the Hillsborough River doesn't do that. It just... Sometimes when we get drought conditions, you can almost jump across it. But here they are at the Jordan. It's floodplain. It's overflowing the banks. And I'd be curious how far that is, but I'm sure it's pretty intimidating. And how many of you know that you're pretty intimidated with something that you got to cross and you really got your stomach is churning. You don't know how you're going to do this. You don't know how you're going to do it. It could be something so little but so major to you. You're getting ready to go on a trip. You're also getting ready to do your hair before your trip. And the lady does your hair. Sorry, I can't do it. I've got problems of my own. Well, what do you expect me to do? Go on a trip without getting my hair done? And I can see the Lord there smiling and says, yeah, it might be advisable. You do what you can with it and you get on that plane and you go on your trip. But what I mean is so little. Sometimes we miss the little things that cause us so much trouble. You broke your nail and you get... And your nail, they're all pretty except for one. You just broke it on the car door. And you're getting ready to go, and all they're going to see your nails. Everybody's going to see your nails. And you got all these figment of your imagination going as to how terrible that is. Wouldn't it be awesome as a Christian to be able to show your nails to whoever you're going to see? I got a broken nail.
And you know what? I don't really care. I love you all. I hope you love me. But if you think that's crazy that I don't get this repaired or whatever and I got peace about it, then maybe you got something to learn.
There you go.
It's these little things, y'all. It's these little rat bites. These little mousers that are everything in our life. It shouldn't be that way. It's crazy to be that way.
Yeah.
And the Lord just sees us up there and say, come on, you don't get it yet. You don't get it. Mark, he's sharing about Joshua crossing the Jordan and all the reality of all that miraculous stuff. But why don't you trust me for a hangnail? Why don't you trust me for whatever it is, whatever's going on in your life, the little things? Oh, I didn't get gas last night. I could have saved 5 cents more. Now I'm going to pay 5 cents more. God, it's your money. I don't know what to do, God. I should have done. Oh, I feel so bad. 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 And I had the chance to get, I just didn't feel like it, Lord. I was doing dishes and I was tired. I wasted 5 cents of your money times 25 gallons. And see how we are?
Nah.
But no, that's no Jordan. That's, well, it is to you. But if you will step out looking to the Lord, if you put your feet on the edge of that, whatever it is you're going to cross, you're never going to cross it unless you get to the edge of it. I know people right now, they're working on a degree, a college degree, and they never would have had one bit, one second of time for that unless they stepped out. Carrion's already working on how many hours, Shirley, right now? Working on her master's. 9? 12?
I don't know.
Several courses already, and she's so intimidated by that. You know, hadn't been in school for a little while. You know, she can do it. She's got the aptitude. She just hadn't been in school for a while. I remember you were saying one time, I haven't been around some of that stuff lately, but bang, you know, picking right up on it, you know. Application, effort, desire. You're stepping out on the edge of the water. I don't know where this is going, but hey, we're going to go to Afghanistan for a while. You didn't know all that. You didn't know all what's going to happen after coming back from Afghanistan, but that had to take place first and to get on the edge of that in order to cross what God has. That's, y'all understand this? This is a memorial to recognize that God is good. God has a way. God has a plan. But we've got to step out following His lead.
Yeah.
Not Him following us. Grab that ark by a rope, boys. Grab the old ark. Lasso that booger and get some mules over here. We're going to show God where to go. Oh, I wouldn't do that. And I fear for you more than I do the mules, because you're making them pull it, but you guys are making them mules pull that. It ain't their fault. You might get fried, but not them. Wow. You see how we are?
Yes.
I got a better way, God. How about you doing something I suggest for a change? It ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. Back to school. Humility 101. Whatever it takes. But I want to say this. When it went to the edge, what happened when the priest touched the edge of the water? As God directed, what happened? It dried up. But Adam was upstream. That's where the waters were piled up. However he did it, he dammed it up. But when they stepped on dry riverbed. I don't know if you're thinking about what I'm thinking, but he stopped the flow up here. How many of you know if you stop the flow up here, what's there is going to run out, right? So God is a God of timing. He's got a math, computation. He knows what's going on. So at the moment that they stepped on was the last residual of whatever was coming down there after God stopped it, that it was dry. I don't... God is something else. It wasn't like they stepped on it and it evaporated. He stopped it up here, it said. You can read in Adam, 18 miles away. And then all of a sudden, they stepped and boom, perfect timing in obedience to the Lord. However, God did that. However, I wasn't there. I'm just saying, God did it. It's just incredible. The waters, it says in verse 6, stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away in Adam. That's 18 miles away. And verse 17, and the priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan.
Just like what? The Red Sea. Now, I don't have time, you know, to go through the rest of this in chapter 4. But I want to say this. I want to get right to the end of this to give the conclusion of this. This message today of memory and memorial. And we need to make sure that we honor God as God has done a work in our lives.
Yeah.
Do not fail to do that. I know we call this Memorial Day, and that's cool, but every day is Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Every day is. All right, now, I want to share some things with you, and then we're going to read the end of this.
Joshua was told to tell the people, go get 12 stones out of the river, where the ark was, in the middle of the river, and collect those stones. He told a member of every tribe, of the 12 tribes, to get a stone. They got 12 stones, and he said, we're going to carry these to our first camp at Gilgal, when we go into the Canaan land, the promised land. We're going to carry these stones, and we're going to make a monument with them. So, I don't know how heavy they were, but they were not too heavy for them to carry them. So, whatever. Boulders, whatever. And also, Joshua, he went out into the middle, and he made a pile of rocks right there in the river. Also 12 stones. Right on the spot. We're going to carry some away, but we're going to make a monument right here too. And he put 12 stones right there. Had them put 12 stones right there where the ark was. So, after they did all that, look at this. In verse 21 of chapter 4. 21 of 4. And he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, whether the president likes it or not,
amen,
whether the mayor likes it or not,
amen,
whether your children like it or not, whether your boss likes it or not, no matter who likes or does not like it.
Amen.
You shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God, dried up the waters of the Jordan. Not Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, or any other confusion thing that you're into. Dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. Verse 24, that all the peoples, why all this? That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever.
Amen.
Including the year 2013, where we are today, in this Memorial Day today. So, the title of our message today is, what do these memorial stones mean? We have stones to remember relatives and war battles and those who paid the ultimate price of defending our country. We have those. But I'm talking about these stones to remember God Almighty, who has everything to do with our destiny.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, battles don't. I mean, they protect our freedoms, but God Almighty has everything to do with our future home. And so we know who paid the ultimate price. Greater love have no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And that is told to us in John 15:13. And this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said that. Now, what did Jesus do? You talk about memorial. He gave the ultimate. He gave his life, shed his blood, and his body for us. The ultimate. I want us to memorialize that today. I want that memory to be very, very fresh for what he has done for us. And 2 Peter chapter 1, 12 through 18, 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2 talks about, I remind you. It's no problem for me to remind you. That's said many times in scriptures. You know this. He says, you know this, but I want to remind you. Today, there's a lot of things that you know. There's a lot of things that I may know, but it's a reminder. We are to have a Memorial Day today to remind us and also tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and next Sunday, we're going to remember Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad, not anybody else or Taoist philosophy. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, gave his life for us. No one else. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. You know, keep that in your memory. Never forget that. Teach it to your children. Teach it and have them teach it to their children. There's no God like Jehovah. And so we go all the way back to Joshua. To me, it's relative today. You got a Jordan to cross? You better cross it with the Lord. And that old water and all up on the banks and overflowing and flooding. And what is your overflowing and flooding situation today? Well, he doesn't always understand me. He don't have his act together yet. Well, she don't understand me either. She don't have her act together. Well, tit for tat. You're not going to get anywhere doing that. You're going to dig yourself in a hole. You know, somebody's got to humble themselves somewhere. He that knows to do and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. So you got to, hey, put out, take the gloves off first. You put them in the garbage can. Don't plan on using them. Don't just stick them in your pocket to be pulled out later. You know, I'll take them off and you stick them in your back pocket. You know, throw them away. Let the garbage man take them. And don't even plan on. But so it's a life to live, and there's going to be Jordans to cross. But there's a God to serve, and he makes a way for us if we trust him. Joshua knew beforehand, because of God's instruction, he's going to get him over to the promised land. He knew that. I know we're going to the king. I know that. But between here and there, it gets interesting. It really gets interesting. If there's anyone listening to this message today, read it over again, Joshua 3 and 4. Read it over. And you'll see all the things involved there, and fears and what people are going through. But Joshua had a heart to serve God. God knew that. God was going to use him. As I used Moses, I'm going to use you. You're going to please me through your obedience. What are these stones for? What do they mean? And basically, in a nutshell, there's no God like Jehovah.
That's right.
If you trust him, you'll cross over. You'll get to the promised land. If you don't, you won't. Nah. It's just that simple. We don't coat it up with sugar. It's just that simple. Someone comes up and they have a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, whether they mean it or not, it's going to be between them and the Lord.
That's right.
There's nothing I can do to make them mean it. There's nothing I can do to make them not mean it. But I want to be led of the Lord in dealing with anybody like that when you pray with them, encourage them to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because you know the end result without him is going to be death, eternal separation. So we leave the business of salvation to the Lord, but we also encourage them. This is serious stuff. Serious. Serious stuff. You better mean it. If you don't, you're going to find that out too. So if there's anyone listening, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I lean on you, whatever, to encourage you to do that, because there's no God like the living God. There's no Savior like Jesus Christ, his Son, who gave his life and shed his blood for you. However you want to say it, however you want to cry out to the Lord, just make sure you cry out to him and say, Jesus, 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 save my soul. Just like that thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Make sure you do that. God bless you.